Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
I might mention to you that the subject as how to control your life is really important to all of us. I want you to know that when we go to the Word of the Lord like this, those of you that are new, it's line upon line, precept upon precept. What does that mean? God wrote it that way. You ought to be able to understand it that way. In understanding it that way, you get the character of God, the nature of God, the attributes of God. Listen to this. You even get the passions and desires of God as well as the Word of the Lord. It's easy to understand. And when you do, there's nothing you're going to skip over for your favorite thinking. You're going to have to deal with everything. And God's going to show us, and this is part number one of a little series called How to Control Your Life. I find, let me just say this, and I hope it's not offensive to anybody, but I find that my time with Christians, many Christians are out of control. They think they're okay, but that doesn't make them okay. And they're out of control. And their flesh literally controls them instead of them controlling the flesh. Stop and think about it just for a moment. Jesus comes and sets you free. He sends His Word, the Bible says, which is truth, that makes you free. So He sets you free to get the Word that makes you free, right? Is that cool? But that doesn't make you necessarily operating in freedom until you make the choice to take what you know of the truth and start applying it in your life. Because it doesn't work unless you apply this. So you may have heard portions of where we're going in the past, but we're going to elaborate on this subject tremendously over the next couple of weeks. We're going to see things that you haven't seen before, and it's going to be exciting and even alive. I didn't even review our past understanding of this. I never even looked at the CDs or watched them or listened to them or anything. I don't want that. I want what God has. And so I know that God has something for us, and we're going there, and I want you to know to get ready. Because if you know this, you can be very spiritual, but it isn't until you live it that it works. Let me say it. You can be very spiritual by knowing something, but until you live it, it doesn't work. Are you following me? My dad taught me to fish when I was a little boy. He loved to fish. He's a great trout fisherman. There's something about him. He could understand when there's a trout even smelling the thing, and he could catch trout. And he, the night before, Dad would take me, and he'd set up my line, show me how to do it. We'd go over it. You know, here's your line. Here's your weight. It's a swivel. It's a slider weight, and here's your swivel that holds the weight, and here's your leader. Here's the kind of weight you want for trout, the size of your leader. Here's how you tie your hook on her. Here's how you bait this all up. And we go out in a boat, and, you know, as most little boys, they'd try it for a little while, maybe not catch it. And then all of a sudden, get bored with it, which I did. And many times my dad would look at me and say, son, until you get your line in the water properly, you'll never catch fish. As out of the boat isn't going to catch fish. See, I knew how to fish, but until I get my line in the water to catch the fish, I can't catch the fish. So guys, I want you to know something. You may know about Scripture, but until you put this to work, you're never going to catch your fish. And so that's what we're doing, is we're learning how to be what God would have us to be. Take a look at this with me. I'm going to read to you, and then I'm going to explain some things to you. Now, here's what I'm going to do today. This is not a raw message. When it finishes, bang, it's only part one. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set a foundation for your thinking. Then next week, we come back and understand this. Because I want you to really live free. I am sick and tired of your flesh, my flesh, running us around, telling us what to do, how to live. I'm tired of getting on a scale and saying I'm going to lose 20 pounds, and then a month later I haven't lost a pound. And I thought I was losing weight. I thought I was on a diet. But my body kept me from doing some things that I needed to do, and I listened to that more than listening to the Spirit of God that's on the inside. I'm tired of being run around. So maybe you got habits or areas of your life or conditions or things that are controlling you. This is how you take back control of your life. Galatians 5th chapter. Paul's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so therefore it's God speaking to us. We understand that. Not only is it God speaking to us, but for all of us, we need to also understand the context of the chapters. He's talking about faith versus law. We're no longer people that are operating by the rules, regulations, and ceremonial rituals and traditions of men. We are people that are now operating, if you will, by faith. Faith is what gets us the job done. It is not going to be your living style that's going to bring you to heaven. It's going to be by faith in Christ Jesus. So everything's about faith. And as he comes to this part of the scripture, he's using some tremendous words. And I want to explain them to you, if you will. In verse number 16 of the 5th chapter of Galatians, where we left off, here's where we start back up. I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A couple of areas I want you to think about, and I want you to circle in your Bible, is the word spirit and the word flesh. And the word lust is an interesting word. It means, you know, passion, going for something that's different. You see the word walk up there? The word walk is an interesting word. It means to carry out, live out life. God wouldn't say that you could live out life in the spirit and you couldn't do it. You can do it. God's not a jokester to come along and say, ha, I told you to walk in the Spirit. Now watch these angels. Watch these fools try to do it. They can't do it. They can do it. So when God makes a statement like that, walk in the Spirit, and he's telling us something. But he also makes this word end, that is a great word, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh, the body, always wants to lead us somewhere different than the Spirit, as you'll see that in a moment. One of the most important verses to look at today is the next verse, verse number 17. Let's take a look at it. Verse number, for the flesh lusts. In other words, there's a war going on. There's a war going on. The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. In other words, they don't get along. And guess what? It says they don't get along, so that you do not do the things in which you wish to do. In other words, you might want to do something. Why is it you don't get it done? Have you ever just wanted to do something you really believe God for? You really said, oh, boy, I'm going to go for that. I want to do it. And after a couple of weeks or so on, man, all of a sudden you're not doing it. And he brought to a stagnant state. We've all been there. And he says the flesh and the spirit can't work together. They war against each other. And when they war against each other, it brings you to a place of stagnation. So that tells me and ought to tell you that if you're going to try to get your spirit, look at the capital S in the word spirit, that lives on the inside of you, God, that lives on the inside of you, to work along with your flesh, it isn't going to work. Your flesh is going to not be able to do anything except keep you in a place of stagnation where you never fulfill that which you believe God for, and it never gets done. Verse number 18 comes along, fascinating verse. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And see the word up there, if. If is a little word, two words, if, but it's a big word. It means it's your call. It means it's your choice. It's not a matter of the flesh's choice, not a matter of the Spirit's choice. It's a matter of your choice. And it says, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, I don't have to be under some rules and regulations. I don't have to be dictated to by anything else. I can just do what God would have me to do. Verse number 19 comes along and says, and the works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry and fornication and uncleanness and lewdness. Verse number 20, adultery, I should have said verse number 19. Verse number 20, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissolutions and heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and like, of which I tell you before, just as I also told you in the times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, can I just say this? You can't go on living in a sinful condition and be a Christian. Because there's something on the inside of you, according to 1 John, that says you can't keep doing that stuff. Is anybody in here honest enough to say, I have done stuff that I know is not Christian, even though I'm a Christian? And I felt guilty about it afterwards? Do you know why? Because that's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And you can't keep that up all the time. You're going to have to make some changes. That's what the Spirit of God does. So people live like that and practice those things. That's not us. Guess what? They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you can take that any way you want to. Some traditional teachings say, well, they're not going to inherit the promises or they're not going to get rewards. That's a bunch of baloney. I think it just says exactly what it means. You're not going to make it if you live in a world that's contrary to the ways of God. Don't give a flip about the things of God. I don't think you're really saved, is what I just said. You may call yourself saved. You may think of yourself saved. You may go to church like you're saved. You may carry your Bible like you're saved. But deep down inside, you don't get saved because of that. You get saved because of your heart, and you're really not saved. So verse number 22 comes along and makes this statement. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness, self-control, which there's no law. Verse number 24 says this, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with passions and desires. Now wait a minute. That's a bizarre verse. Now listen to this. We're talking about how to control your life. Those who are Christ's, those that are truly born of the Spirit of God, do something. Here's what they do. They have crucified the flesh. The flesh no longer controls them. They control the flesh. Isn't it an interesting word? He didn't just say kill or stop or don't pay attention to. He used the word crucify. The word crucify indicates two things, suffering and death. Suffering that comes because of pressure and death that inevitably comes. In other words, you have got to put pressure on your flesh. You have got to discipline your flesh until it finally dies off and no longer controls you. Those who are Christ crucifies the flesh. And then circle the word, if you will, passions and desires. So not only does it crucify the flesh, but somewhere along there, the passions and desires that are contrary to the ways of God, they're crucified too. Wow. All of a sudden, here's a responsibility we have as Christians to do something with what our life is all about. There's no way God just says, go to church, run through some ceremonial ritual, and you're fine. You'll go to heaven. Well, you might, but you're not going to be blessed here on this earth. If you're going to get really blessed, be the witness God wants you to be, fulfill the plan that God has for your life, have the destiny, purpose, future that God has for you. May I say this to you? You're going to have to do something. If you really belong to Christ, you're going to have to crucify the flesh and the passions and desires. Amen. In other words, you're going to have to torture them until they die. Not just say, well, I'll deal with it. I'll leave my flesh alone. I'll comfort it. Didn't say comfort your flesh and it'll die. It said torture your flesh and it'll die. And then anything that you do is going to be some form of torture to bring death to something called the flesh and its desires and passions. In other words, it's not going to be easy. We like things that are easy. I'm grateful that he didn't just say, well, ignore the flesh. Or, you know, just pamper it or just meet it halfway. He just said, torture it to death, because it's going to be a torture on your thinking process and the passions and desires of that flesh. Torture it to death. Powerful. I mean, and then he says these words in verse number 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Can I tell you something? What kind of a verse is this? Think about the verse. If, there's that big word again, two words, it's probably some of the biggest words you ever read. Two letters, big word, if. If we live in the Spirit. See, a lot of people don't understand, you can live in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. I can know how to fish, never put my line over the boat. Does anybody understand that? I can call myself a fisherman, never catch anything because I never put my line in the water. I can know the scriptures, in other words. I can act spiritual. I can go to church. I can quote the scripture, preach the scripture. I am spiritual. But until I walk this out, till my life reflects it. So here he makes this statement. He says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, you can live in the Spirit. You can be spiritual and not do this. Spiritual everybody around you. Because it's what he just said. He said, let us live in the Spirit. Let us also walk. Let us also walk. Let us also. Also. In other words, he's telling us to do something that doesn't just go along with living in the Spirit. Someone says, I live in the Spirit. Great. But do you walk it out? Because if you don't walk it out, nothing do any good, man. You're in the boat with your fishing line outside of the water. You'll never catch fish. And the whole object of us as Christians is if we're going to live here on this planet until Jesus comes and breaks through the eastern sky and takes us out of here. Let's be prosperous and win this valley and take care of the people and our relatives and say, and let's be witnesses for Christ Jesus. And the only way to do that is not to be spiritual, but to walk this stuff out. Now, that's not easy because it means going back to the verse before that, you're going to have to crucify, torture to death your flesh and the passions and desires thereof. Not just get along with the flesh, because the flesh can't work with the Spirit. They're at enmity, at war with each other. It doesn't work. It'll stop you to stagnation. Remember? Powerful. Now, in order to understand this deeper, you have to understand something about yourself, who you are, how God made you up. So here you heard the basics of what he's requiring of us. Let's see how it works and what it means. Is that okay? Let's take you, if I may, to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse number 23. Let's just pop it up on the overhead and let's read what Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica. And he writes these words. He says, now, may the God of peace himself sanctify. The word sanctify means set you apart. God really wants to set you apart. But he don't want to set you apart in factions and set you apart with problems and set you apart, you know, from the world and bring you to himself when you're all screwed up. He says, he wants to sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, you and I are made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And we already found out that if the flesh, our body, now I'll show you that in a moment, doesn't work with the spirit because they're at enmity at war with each other. There's three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Let me explain it to you. Everybody say body.
Body.
Everybody say soul.
Soul.
Everybody say spirit.
Spirit.
Now let me go and let me show you what that means scripturally. First of all, let's just take man. Here you are. And you're on this planet and you're made up of body, soul, and spirit. Let's take body first. Oftentimes you will see in scripture the word body is the word flesh. It really means something. Here's really what it really means. It means, if you will, your worldliness and carnality. Carnality means the physical being. And this worldliness and carnality, we don't need Galatians 5:17 on there, but that's just a reminder to tell you that the body or the flesh doesn't work. Remember, with the spirit, they're at war with each other. Powerful verse. So here you are, here I am, and we're made up of this physical. Ooh, that hurt. And the worldliness, you know, our desire to get along with what the world does. There's a passion on the inside of us to be like everybody else. This physical body has a voice, if you will. Second part that you are, listen to this, is the soul. The soul is kind of interesting. It's your mind, your will, your emotions. And a good word for that is thinking. It's all the thinking that goes on. It's the seed of everything. It's the seed of your faith. It's a seedbed of your faith. It's a seedbed of your emotions. It's a seedbed of your fears. Everything. The soul is a mind. It thinks all the time. The third part that we're talking about that you are is the spirit. Now realize in Scripture there's a human spirit, but I believe that the human spirit, supposedly when it gets born again, because Jesus says what is of the spirit, is born of the spirit is spirit. And therefore my human spirit gets born again, and now I'm engulfed, if you will, with the Holy Spirit, capital S. So I'm no longer just a person. Now you can take that human spirit and put it up in the thinking, because oftentimes a human spirit come from the thinking and relate with the soul. It can also relate with the spirit. But my human spirit has been washed, and I'm going to go to heaven. So it's the Spirit of God that's on the inside of me. Pretty powerful. Body, soul, spirit. Now, the point being is this. Listen to this. If I don't control this correctly, my three parts, what I end up doing is doing what I want to do from the lusts of the flesh instead of what the Spirit wants me to do. And I end up trying something and failing. I end up trying to give up this bad habit or addiction and end up not doing it. And then I get discouraged with myself. Has anybody ever been there? And you make statements about yourself like, God must really hate me for failing. I tried with all of my being and I didn't make it, and God must really hate me. Can I tell you something? That's the problem. You're not to try with all of your being, flesh. You're to try with the spirit that gives you the power to conquer the flesh. Now, here's what we don't see all the time. We get down on ourselves. We get discouraged with ourselves because one day we're pumped up in faith and the next day we screw up and we say, how can God ever love us? How can he? God loves us, but let me say this, and he keeps on loving us even in the midst of our screw-ups. You know why? Because he understands us. And when you understand someone's problem, it's easier to walk in that love. And he totally understands that you and I try to do stuff, and we're not trying in the right method. We're trying in the flesh to overcome the problem. When the flesh isn't the power source, but the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of me. And if I don't use the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of me, listen to this. You got to get this. The right way. Then the flesh is going to do all the talking and do all the passions and do all the desiring. And I'm eventually going to have this voice from the flesh talk to my soul, and what I think about all the time is what I eventually get back into. So now I'm controlled by the flesh that's talking to my soul instead of my spirit governing my soul. And I'm living in the flesh instead of walking in the spirit. Is anybody listening? So powerful and so wonderful. I love this. Now, I want to take you somewhere. Can I just for the next few minutes, we're about finished for the setting of foundation, but I got to show you something really cool. Is that okay? Are you ready? I'm going to take you in the life of Paul the Apostle, who was dealing with his flesh and dealing with the spirit, and he was at that place in his life, he doesn't understand it. Now, can I just say this to you? What I'm going to read to you, most people in the world of theology and church life will take this entire chapter, pull it out, and say, this is an excuse for me and you to screw up because Paul's a screw up. This proves Paul's a screw up. This only proves that Paul was human like you, and he learned how to be walking in the Spirit Let me just say this to you. Did Paul make mistakes and not understand things? Yes. But my goodness, let's all make mistakes and not understand things like Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that would be pretty good. But here he writes, not so you can see his frailty, but that you can see his victory and how he got there. But I thought it was fascinating because the frailty that he describes is exactly what you and I go through almost every day of our life. And here he is, the great apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. My goodness, and he's got these problems and situations, but he also has an answer out of it. Then I guess there's hope for me. And that's what this is all about. It's called controlling your life. Not letting your life control you. Romans, the 7th chapter. Paul writes, and again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So God's pinning this not as a history lesson, but as something that you and I can learn from for a reason. So powerful. In fact, I want to just do something real quick before I go to Romans in the 7th chapter. I want to pop up on the overhead screens the word body, soul, and spirit. And then, if you could, just pop that up with underneath it with the... See, the body, soul, and spirit. Here are all parts working together. So if the body is telling the soul what to do, you're a mess. But if the spirit is telling the soul what to think and what to do, then you walk in the spirit. But what we try to do is we try to comfort instead of torture the flesh or body. So let's pop up that next. Oh, look at that. They're at enmity with each other. Remember Galatians 5:17 says the body and the spirit can't work together, so you become stagnant. But we're always saying this is the spiritual thing to do. I know it's a spiritual thing to do, but how come I'm not doing it? Oh, I do it for a little while. I was really going on with God. I was in church every week for a month. But now I'm back to doing my thing. I'm off to the river with some people drinking some beers. God still loves me, no doubt, but does he approve of what you're doing? And so what we try to do is we try to comfort the flesh instead of realizing the flesh and the spirit don't work together. And in Romans, the 7th chapter, here is this tremendous understanding about Paul's life that relates to every one of us that are in here. May I read it to you? Let's start with verse number 14. And we know that the law is spiritual. In other words, can I just stop you right there? There's nothing wrong with the law. It came from God. It does give you insight in how to be good and how to do right and how to be the kind of a person that you ought to be. I mean, it won't get you to heaven by doing it because Jesus is the vehicle that gets you to heaven by faith. But the law isn't bad. But it's bad if you think it's going to get you to heaven. Then it becomes bad. Because it can't get you to heaven. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. So he makes a statement. He says, I know the law is spiritual. And then he comes along and he says, but I'm carnal. Remember when we popped up the word carnal? It came under the word body, flesh, carnality. Remember that? In other words, I'm fleshly. I'm physical. I determine where I go and what I do by what my flesh says. He says, but I'm a fleshly person. And I'm sold. Now remember, this is the apostle. I'm sold under sin. You say, wait a minute. Paul was sold under sin? His flesh. The physical body. The carnality of everything. Listen to this. It's not. Did you ever notice that when you got saved, your flesh stayed the same? Didn't change. What changed was the spirit. The flesh stayed the same. Verse number 15 comes along and makes this statement, which is brilliant. For what I am doing, I do not understand. Does that kind of like get everybody's attention? Have you ever walked with God and said to yourself, I don't understand everything. He says, what I'm doing, I don't understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. In other words, I want to do something. I want to be spiritual. And I want to live that kind of life. But I don't know why I don't. What I practice is something different. Why? Because of his flesh. That he just made the statement before that. It's the same with you and same with me. Now he comes along and makes the statement. Verse number 16. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, verse number 17, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Wait a minute. This is Paul the Apostle. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear in every one of our lives, go back to Genesis, the fourth chapter, that sin crouches at your door. It's constantly, have you ever noticed, when you got saved, sin didn't leave you alone. You're going to have to do something, take it out and crucify it. Not allow it to be a spokesman in your life. Not allow to give direct. It's still there. It's just now defeated until you give it the right to do what it needs to do. He says that sin dwells in me. Verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Now what part's he talking about? His body. That carnal part that speaks all out. Says what it wants, what its passions are, what its desires are. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. In other words, I want to do it. But how to perform it? What is good, I do not find. In other words, you're not going to find in your flesh how to perform what the Spirit wants. Why? They're at war with each other. Is anybody listening? Are we okay so far? Now watch this. Let's continue. Now listen to this. For the good that I will to do, verse number 19, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. In other words, I don't want to do this. I want to do what's right. Then how come I keep going back to it? No different than you. No different than me. How can I get fired up one week and be so down the next week? How can I have such strength and faith one week and have no faith at all the next week? How can I say to myself, I'm going to do this. And guess what? New Year's resolution comes along. 4 days afterwards, you just blew it because someone brought a cake. And the cake spoke louder to you. Where did it speak in your flesh? I love lemon. See, all of it. That's what he just said. Verse number 20. Now, if I do what I will to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. In other words, don't you love the word, but if? There's that big word again. If I give in to the sin that's in me, it's not me that's doing it, but the sin that's, it's, in other words, he's now being controlled by the flesh. I find a new law. Here's a law. Just take the word, circle the word law, put the word principle. That's easier to understand. So sometimes we get it confused with the Mosaic law. It's not what he's talking about. He says, here I find a new principle. That evil is present with me, the one who wills to do God good. Listen, you got to get this verse. This verse is nuts. Don't just read this and forget it and fall asleep on it. You're never going to go anywhere. He says, I find a new principle. The evil that is present with me, the one who wills to do good. In other words, I will to do good. I want to do what's right. But there's evil that dwells with me, and it's present. Ain't no different than you and no different than me. It comes along verse number 22 and he says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. In other words, I want to do what's right. Verse number 23, but I see another law in my members. In other words, my flesh is speaking out, warring against the law of my mind. Wait a minute. There's a war going on. Now the war is not just about the spirit, but it's also in his mind. his soul. And he says, there's a war in my mind, and it brings me into captivity to the laws of sin, which is in my members. In other words, there's something from his flesh speaking to his mind. There's a war going on against the spirit. Not any different than you and I. Guys, listen to what he is saying. It's so great. Verse 24, the best verse of them all. O wicked man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Listen to the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, all that he said is right. That's where we're at. But there's a way out of it, and it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it isn't just going along and saying, well, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. It's about putting together, walking in, getting your fishing line out of the boat and in the water before you catch some fish. Jesus Christ set me free, gives me the truth that makes me free. And if I don't apply the truth, I always operate in the answer to my life is Jesus, and it's true. But guess what? Until you learn how to operate that spirit that Jesus sent back for you, capital S, it never will work. And may I make this statement? Let's read the whole verse. It says that through Jesus Christ, so then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it. I know it's right. But the flesh, the law of sin. And may I say this to you? When whoever wrote this, of course, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whoever interpreted this put in all the commas, all the capitalizations, everything that you see there, and also put in the chapters. Chapter 8 runs right after chapter 7. The subject's not finished. So he goes in and says, thank God through Jesus Christ, I can serve God. Again, then he comes on chapter 8, says the new condition that he's in. Now, for all of us today, as you walk out of this place, I'm finished. For all of us today, we're setting a foundation. You are body, soul, spirit. If your soul, mind, and thinking is being told what to do by your flesh, you'll end up in sin, never accomplishing what you should. If your spirit speaks to your soul, and we'll see this next week, and you follow the spirit instead of what the flesh says because you have crucified, tortured to death the flesh, no longer has control, then you now live and walk in the spirit. Now, I want to live and I want to walk in the spirit. I want to be spiritual and walk spiritual. And the only way I'm going to do that is to line up my correct type of thinking, which I'll show you next week, on how to literally deal with this. But if I try to pacify my flesh instead of dealing with my flesh will let me pacify it for a while, and then it'll end up coming against the spirit, and I end up stagnant. And here's what we always try to do. We always say, well, let's break this off a little at a time. Let's stop it a little time because we don't want to. And here's my problem. The problem is this, guys. We cannot play with the flesh. We got to deal with the flesh. He told us to crucify the flesh and the passions and desires thereof, so that your passion and your desire comes from the spirit. Tells your soul and you operate living and walking in the spirit. Now you're a prosperous Christian on the planet. This is just the foundation, but I know you got something out of it. If you got something out of it, give God a great big praise. Read to that. Isn't God good?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.